Well, you go ahead and be seated. We've got a special treat for you tonight. I'm going to make some introductory remarks, and then I have a couple of individuals that we're going to watch for about 24 minutes, because we're going to be launching out in ministering on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, we just experienced Pentecost Sunday, and it was awesome. We had several people get filled with the Holy Spirit. But how many of you know that's just the beginning? That's really just the doorway, if you will, to the supernatural. And God wants His people in this day, in this hour, to be fully equipped with harvesting tools. And some of the harvesting tools are the gifts, if you will, or the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified. It instructs us as a church, as a body, to do something very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31 in the Amplified. Praise the Lord. I have it here, but I want you to be able to see it. All right. Can you see it? Okay. Here we go. But earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts and graces. Somebody says, well, what's the best gift of the Holy Spirit? Well, it's the one that's needed at the time. Is that right? And so it tells us to earnestly desire and cultivate the greatest and best gifts and graces, the higher gifts and the choicest gifts. And then he said, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. How many of you know the more excellent way is that these gifts be operating in the spirit of love?
Yes.
Amen? That's the more excellent way. One that is better, far and above the highest of them all. So we see this word, covet. It's very important to covet these gifts. And one way that we covet these gifts is we covet them by praying about them and asking God to manifest Himself mightily in our midst. How many of you know you can be hungry for something? You can be hungry for a burger. Anybody been hungry for a burger lately? A Val's burger, whatever kind of burger you like. Get hungry for a burger, all right? And nothing's really going to prevent you from partaking of that if you're hungry enough. Well, the same thing is true spiritually. Nothing is going to be withheld from you and I and from the body of Christ as we truly covet, as we truly hunger a mighty move of God. You can be hungry for spiritual food. Is that right? You certainly can be. Now, notice with me in a few verses. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts. Now, another way you could say that is this, now concerning things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost. He goes on to say, I would not have you ignorant. So, number one, God does not want His body, His church, to be ignorant about the gifts of the Spirit. Is that right? Now, you'll notice in verses 3 through 11, and we'll look at that in a moment, it talks about the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. So as you look at 1 Corinthians 12, what the whole chapter is about, it's about things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost. In verse 12 through 17, he talks about the body of Christ. In verses 28 through 31, he talks about the ministry gifts of the Holy Spirit. So thank God the Holy Ghost is our equipper, right? And so we do not want to be in the dark about this. I can remember Brother Hagin saying very emphatically to the students and for those who followed his ministry very closely, if you want the gifts of the Spirit in operation in your church, you need to teach on them. You need to teach on them. Now, why is that? Because of Romans 10, 17. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by what?
Hearing.
It comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So as we are instructed along these lines of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, then we'll get hungrier for them.
Yeah.
We'll begin to desire them. We'll begin to covet them to be in manifestation in our midst. And not just through Pastor Tom and myself and those on the pastoral staff. These gifts of the Spirit are for every man to profit with all.
Yeah.
Now, the profit is not for us. When you begin to flow in the Spirit of God, other people profit as a result of the gift that's being in manifestation.
Yeah.
So I do not want you to sell yourself short in any way, fashion, or form. Somebody says, I didn't go to Bible school. That might be a good thing. I don't know. I'm not trying to be a wise guy up here tonight. But you do not have to have a PhD to flow in the Spirit. Now, you can have a PhD and flow in the Spirit, but it is not a prerequisite for God to use you. God uses ordinary men and ordinary women just like you and just like me. Those who have chosen to be vessels of honor, those who have yielded their lives completely to Him and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm open to whatever the Spirit of God wants to do in me and through me for the glory of God. Are we hungry for the gifts of the Spirit here? See, it's one thing for us to have the Spirit within us individually. It's another thing to have the Spirit of God upon us in the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But it's another thing when the Holy Spirit is among us. When there is this corporate anointing. When there is this corporate unction. I'm telling you what, the anointing destroys the yokes. It removes the burdens. And I dare say there's a lot of people with a lot of burdens and a lot of yokes that could use the help that comes from the Spirit of God. We have to have a move of God in this day and this hour. There are so many things out there. The occult is on the uprising. There's this and there's that. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to rise up and be the church. Vessels of honor, vessels of glory, flowing for the goodness of God. Amen. So we do not want to be ignorant concerning these gifts, these manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I don't want to speak too long because I've got a real treat for you tonight. Notice with me in verse 3. He says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by who? But by the Holy Ghost. So what this is saying, Paul is saying, is nobody speaking by the Spirit, nobody saying, thus saith the Lord, can ever say anything bad about the Lord. Say this with me, all of the gifts magnify Him. They glorify the Lord. He is the one that is exalted. He is the one that is to be magnified. Amen? And so somebody says, well, what's my gift? Well, really, that's the wrong focus. We just need to get so full of the Holy Spirit, so filled with the fullness of God, that we're just open to whatever God wants to do through us. We do not want to get so clinical in defining the gifts of the Spirit that we become sort of, you know, dry and dead. We just want to be open. Raise your hands and say, I'm open. I'm open to the Lord. I mean, you get so full that, you know, you don't have to have a label. Amen. Right. So in verse 4, it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So the gifts are diverse, but the giver is one, and the source is one. Amen. And so we need to learn on the different ways that He manifests Himself. Verse 5, and there are differences of administrations, and there are differences of operations, but is the same God who worketh all in all. Verse 7, read it with me. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to Pastor Mark only. No. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to George Nikolopoulos only. No, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to any willing vessel. Notice, to every man to profit withal. And then he goes on to list the gifts of the Spirit. I just want to say this before that we go any further. There are three categories of gifts. There are three gifts of the Spirit that reveal something. It is the word of knowledge. It is the word of wisdom. And what's the other one? It is the discerning of spirits. That reveals something. We'll be defining those over the process of time. And there are three gifts of the Spirit that say something, or they're called the utterance gifts. Does anyone know what the three utterance gifts are?
Prophecy,
tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. These are supernatural gifts. And there are three gifts of the Spirit that do something. And that's what we want to really center in on in the course of this time and in the course of weeks ahead, the power gifts. The power gifts. Number one, the gift of faith or special faith. Number two, the gifts of healings. And then number three, the working of miracles. Amen. Amen. And so let's just read down here in verse 8. It says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. Now that faith that he's talking about here is not your general faith. It's not the faith that you live by. It's a supernatural faith beyond ordinary faith. It's a special faith where God just turns you into another man. He turns you into another woman where your faith just cannot be denied and miracles happen. Somebody says, will I know when that happens? Will I know when that comes upon? Folks, you won't have to wonder. You'll just know. God wants you to be aware of these gifts. And Mark Brzee and Joel Morris define these so beautifully and give some illustrations about the gift of special faith. And I really, really wanted you to hear. Verse 9 again, to another faith by the same Spirit. Amen. That's beyond your common faith. To another gifts of healings. To another working of miracles. Amen. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues. And to another the interpretation of tongues. Amen. And so we see these wonderful things being available to the body of Christ. But if we don't know about them, if we don't learn about them, then we'll not have them. And so we need to be praying. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. And so tonight, we're going to watch about a 24-minute clip of Mark Brzee and Joe Morris. And they're talking about special faith. So take really good notes, because you'll see some of the things I said reiterated. And I believe that we're in a learning environment tonight. And then once we watch these, we're going to pray specifically for 5 to 10 minutes. We're going to pray. We're going to covet. We're going to earnestly desire as a unit these power gifts to be in manifestation. Amen? So let's roll the video.
We've been stirred to swing back around and spend some time talking about what we call the power gifts. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. There's the gifts that say something, the gifts that reveal something, but then there's three that do something. Mm. And if there's anything we got to have right now, I believe God is just looking for somebody that will get in his face and say, God, we are asking you to bring forth your power gifts, which is special faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healings. But we, the church world, honestly, we know so little about it in the church world. But that's got to change.
Yes.
You know, you say you do meetings in churches, and they ask you to come teach on prophecy. But by the way, while you're at it, would you teach 8 hours on Saturday on spiritual gifts?
Yeah.
And they pack the place out.
Yeah. People are hungry. They want to see how to cooperate with God. And that's that whole thing is, if it started in the book of Acts that way, it'll finish that way. So why not have a heads up? I mean, the Lord said there's two things not to be misinformed about. Gifts of the Spirit and the coming of the Lord.
Yeah.
Because right before the coming of the Lord, there'll be an outflow mentality. Because we've learned how to get the power to us, but we don't know how to get it through us.
That's good.
And it's like, yeah, we've had 50 years of how do you get it to you? If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You'll ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you.
Yeah.
That's great. But there has to come a time where we become a vessel mentality to where he's in us. So how do we get him out of us?
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of churches are switching over into that vein because you can do more in a shorter period of time, like harvesting quicker.
Yeah. 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 I mean, what is our great commission?
Yes.
Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes, Mark 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And then he gives a list of them, but there's something about all these gifts, the utterance gifts, the revelation gifts, and the power gifts. God can use all of them as signs.
Yes.
That he can use all of them, and he will use all of them as signs. But there's something about those power gifts.
Yes.
They do more in less time than it seems like than any other gift does.
Right, right. It's just a different way to harvest.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just amazing. I mean, well, we could spend hours just talking about, you know, what we see in the scriptures. You know, a special faith.
Mm.
special faith. I remember the first time I ever heard about special faith. Man, I was just trying to figure out what faith was.
Right, sure.
But there's three dimensions of faith, best we can tell. There's saving faith, you know, for by grace are you saved through faith. Okay. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. So we know it takes a faith to receive Jesus that comes by hearing the word. There's living faith, the just shall live by faith. And that works by believing in our heart, same with our mouth. You know, but it comes by hearing the word. But then there's this dimension of special faith. Mm. And we call it special. It's called faith in 1 Corinthians 12, but it's really, more accurately, it's special faith.
Right.
Because it's not the saving faith. It's not the living faith that everybody walks in.
Right, right.
It's this special faith that somebody once said, when special faith's in operation, you know what God's going to do before he does it.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
And this special faith thing, it's like Wigglesworth, and I'm going to share one more thing, and I'm going to ask you to jump in with some things.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But the quote I've heard, you know, I don't know how accurate it is, I wasn't there, but Smith Wigglesworth was ministering to people, and I mean, he had people raised from the dead. He had, you know, when we talk about working in miracles, there's some things I want us to talk about there with Wigglesworth. But you know, he said, I just pray over these people, and I pray, and I use all the faith I've got. I use all the living faith. I use all the faith I've got, and when I reach the end of my faith, it's like I reach up, and there's a faith that'll come out of heaven, and I know I cannot be denied. Mm. And that's when the miracles, he can pray and pray and pray and pray and pray with all the faith he's got. And when he hits the end of what he's got, he steps into the beginning of what God's got.
Mm.
And that's when the miracles, amazing miracles that take place. And when we're talking about special faith, faith operates by believing and saying. Special faith pretty much still operates by believing and saying, but there's this supernatural believing that comes out of heaven. It's not that you work it up or grow toward it. It's just a manifestation of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
So, but Joe, a lot of these things have operated in your life, well, as long as I've known you, and whether it be special faith, working in miracles, gifts of healings. Let's just talk about some of those.
I think I heard, you know, you would know better than me, Brother Hagin, talking about special faith would be dominant. And
yeah.
I wish I would have known this years ago, but I've over time realized that when special faith is in operation, all of a sudden you're authorized in someone else's life that you don't have authority for. You know for them.
Oh, that's so good.
You know, basic faith, you know you're saved, you know you're healed because the Word says you are. When special faith is in operation, all of a sudden you know for them. And it's not special wondering. You don't wonder if it's on you. You know it's on you. So I think that's the coolest part of it is where I heard one guy say, maybe it was Brother Hagin, it's a gift of the Spirit in which you believe God in such a way he honors your word as his very own.
Yeah.
And miraculously brings it to pass.
That's so good.
And how I think they've said it's like you're experiencing all of a sudden God's faith for a brief moment. And I think that's what sometimes is a deliverer of a miracle. I've heard it said this way, special faith, there's an injection of special faith, that knowing, whereas the working of miracles, it's an action.
Yeah.
I remember a service I was in Beaumont, Texas. There was prisoners that come. I like to joke and say, how many of you are glad you're here and not in jail? You know, just to get as many people as I can excited. Well, these prisoners were there, and they were not excited about the message. You could tell they were like, I don't want to hear this. And so I was trying in the flesh to get them with me, and all I was doing was making them madder and madder. Like, who is this little short guy from Oklahoma? Well, thank God there was a guard on the end to keep them from killing me. But you could tell they did not like the meeting. They were just glad to get out of jail. Furlough just for that night to go to church. Well, I tried in the flesh to get them with me, and I think they got madder and madder, and I did worse. You know how you're doing everything you can in the natural. Well, at the end, I had a vision. I saw a woman in a beige LTD Ford get T-boned at an intersection. She flew across her seat because there weren't bucket seats, like a bench seat.
Yeah.
Face went into the side window, but I knew that she hurt her shoulder. So I called it out and said, there's a lady here. You're in a beige LTD floor, and I can see your face. I can see scabs on her face where her face was healing up, but you know, you could tell it was cut.
Yeah.
This lady got up and came walking out. I said, well, but it's your shoulder, isn't it? She goes, that's right. I said, you were a T-bone. She goes, that's right. And you can see where she was healing up, but mainly it was her shoulder. We were in an old Piggly Wiggly grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
And the Lord said, tell her to put her arm up on one of those poles right in the front. And I thought, what is that? So I said, ma'am, put your arm right up on the pole like that. And I wasn't expecting this. But all of a sudden, this knowing came on me. The Lord said, hit her in the neck, back of the neck. And I'm like, okay. And see, it's not like wondering, because if I'm wondering it's there, it's not there. It's a knowing. So I went like this. I'm like, God, pow. Hit her in the back of the neck. She started kind of doing the chicken and the swan. And she goes, I'm healed. And the pastor came walking down. He goes, I was in the hospital room with her. The doctor said, we're going to rebuild your shoulder. And here, all of a sudden, instantly, her shoulder's rebuilt. Well, the cool part was the prisoners got out of their aisle, walked down, lifted up their hands, and began to sing a song to the Lord. They made their own altar call after seeing how good the Lord is healing that woman. So the deal was, special faith delivered it, but it was all about showing those people how good Jesus is.
There's a purpose.
And it's like, look how fast. You could have taught 30 messages on how good Jesus is.
Yeah.
But in one demonstration, they saw how good he is.
Just one.
One.
Just one.
And that's where the power gifts have to be predominant, because things happen so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have a lot of time left.
If there is, 8 billion people on earth right now? Mm-hmm. And last I knew, when we had 7.5, over 1 billion had never even heard the name of Jesus.
Yeah, wow, that's wild.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Not only had they not saved, they had never, 1 billion had never heard the name.
Wow.
And if there's that many people out there, I'm not God, but I just don't see God wrapping this thing up before people that are hungry have a chance to hear.
Right.
You made a statement a few minutes ago that really, hey, if God didn't start this out with fire, it ended up with ice.
Right.
Okay,
oh,
that's
man.
My translation on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody said to me one time, we're just not going to really have all that much at the end. And I said, I didn't sign up for dead, dry, and dull.
Yeah, yeah.
If we have an assignment to go to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, mm-hmm. with signs following, if we have that assignment as the church, not just apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher.
Right.
If the church has an assignment,
yes.
How are we going to get that done if we don't have God confirming it with signs following?
Right. And James said, you've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And he talks about Job in an end time chapter. Why would the Lord talk about Job? Yeah. Well, Job got double of what was lost.
Yeah.
So he's trying to show us at the end, we can expect double of what the book of Acts was.
Yeah.
Well, if Peter and Paul had demonstrations, we should be going, okay, that's nice, but we get double. I don't see Elisha going, well, I want just what you had. No, Elisha told Elijah, I want double what you had.
I want double.
So it's not unscriptural to expect that.
Yeah.
It would almost be weird if we didn't expect that.
Yeah. And God's looking for a generation that'll pull on that.
Yes.
There's got to be some hunger for that.
Yeah.
Which means it's going to have to be preached and demonstrated.
Yes. I like what Brother Hagin said. Pastors came to him and said, we're praying and believing God for the gifts to be in operation. And Brother Hagin said, well, do you preach on it very much? And they said, well, no. He goes, well, you'll get what you preach on.
It's so simple.
Wow.
So simple. There's an example I use. I've used a number of times in services. There's a guy that I know, he's in Texas right now. He's a really wild guy. His dad was a healing evangelist in the healing revival. In fact, his dad told him, he told me on the phone a few years ago, he said, I go through Tulsa, Oklahoma a lot. And he said, there's three cities I can tell you right now that are going to experience a major move of God in the last days. I don't recall what the other two were, but he says, but I'm just telling you, Pastor, Tulsa's one of them. And I believe that, but he just said he was in I think it was Jack Coe had an auditorium, maybe a church, I don't know what it was. And he was just a kid in those days. And long story behind, I won't go into that, but God told Jack Coe, prophesied to him, you're going to do such and such,
wow.
with on the keyboard.
Wow.
He said, I had a guy tell me, you'll never play anything but the radio. You can't play anything. Your parents might as well get rid of the keyboard because you can't play anything.
Wow.
Within 3 months, he said, I was playing for him and as high as the Madison Square Gardens.
Wow, for Jack Coe.
I think so.
Wow.
Don't quote me on that because I'd have to talk to him to get it all, make sure I got it straight. But he said, there's no way this could happen. There's no way God could equip me to play. They had a grand piano on the platform of John Osteen's church just for this guy to play.
Oh, wow.
For a long period of time. Wild guy. But he just said, I just didn't think God could ever do that until I was in a meeting. And again, I think it was Jack Coe. I don't think it was A.A. Allen. I think it was Jack Coe. Mm-hmm. And he said, goes up, he's preaching, and he walks up to this lady on the front row, pulls her to her feet. He said, there's this mammoth goiter on her neck. Mm-hmm. He didn't pray for her. He didn't lay hands on her. He just reached out, grabbed it, and yanked it.
Wow.
And had it in his hand.
Wow.
And looked down, and she had brand new baby skin
on
her neck. He goes down, there's a guy bent over, can't stand up straight at all. Mm. Pulls him out, sticks his knee in the guy's back, grabs his shoulders, and yanks. Guy screams bloody murder.
Oh, wow.
And then takes off running, perfectly.
Wow.
Healed. And he said, I thought if God can do that, he can do what I was told I'm supposed to do. Yes. Spent the rest of his life, as far as last I knew, playing piano, playing organ, amazing keyboardist.
Wow.
But he said, I knew I could do it if God could do that. We need these signs and wonders.
Yes.
We
yes.
need people to have expectation
yes.
For God's mercy and so on. So,
yes.
So, more, got more stirring?
Yeah, I think that we wouldn't have this. William Branham said years ago, I'm not much on his doctrine, but he had demonstrations. But he did say, it's impossible to hunger for something that's not available.
That's good.
So if we're hungering for it, that means it's available. And I don't think, when it came to 1 Corinthians 12, all Paul said was he's writing to the church at Corinth, not prophets. And he said concerning those, actually the word gifts is in italics, so the word spiritual, looked it up. And it means some of the appointed activities of the Holy Ghost in the church. Mm. You know, he's our comforter, he's our guide, he's our standby, but he's the manifester of these rivers. And the Bible really doesn't call them gifts, it calls them manifestations.
Yeah.
And so if it's rivers, if I'm going to be cooperating with God and operating in that, I should know how those operate. Because we have a tendency, I would see Catherine Kuhlman as a kid and I go, well, I can't do that. I'm not weird enough to flow in that kind of anointing. But if I can see how the Holy Spirit moves, I can go, you know what, I can do that. Because if you're not up on it, you're down on it.
Yeah.
And that's why I think that's Paul went into real detail on so many verses. He went from verse 13 to verse 27 showing you all the parts of the body that you can't see need to be yielding to the Holy Ghost more than apostles and prophets. Because, yeah. You know, we don't talk about my aortic arch, but my aorta is working really hard right now. But we want to honor the things we see. And the Lord's like, hey, the parts of the body you can't see need to be up on these rivers or we'll never operate in
That's
it.
So good, Joe.
I mean, it's like and we were told over the years, if you're not Miss Brother Schambach or if you're not that person, you can't flow in it. And God's like, no, this is for the entire body. In the military, the general is signing contracts and papers. He's not out with the big guns. It's the guys out in the deal with the big guns.
That's right.
And we had it backwards, and it shouldn't be that way. It should be taught so that there's an expectation. He can use me anywhere I go.
Yeah.
And then we got this kind of I call it a can theology or a hose theology. Huh? My grass was burning this last summer, and I couldn't get the hose to get to it. My hoses were all cracked and everything. I didn't go, oh, I'm going to believe God for these hoses to be perfect, then I can use them. No, I just wanted the water to get through and water my grass.
Yeah.
And we want the hose to be flawless before God will use us. And it's like, you know, you're a container. I love you, but you don't have to be perfect to be using this. You know, it's like, just let it flow through you. Like a Diet Coke can. I don't go, oh, the can is so amazing. No, I want the Diet Coke.
Yeah.
And we've gotten in a mentality, I can't operate in that because I'm not that. When God's like going, whoa, no, I'm in you.
Yeah.
If I'm in you, I can flow out of you. And he said, out of your belly would flow, not maybe, would flow, rivers, plural, of life-giving substance. So if a whole move came out of that to where you had songs, I've got a river of life flowing out of me, makes a lame to walk, blind see, opens prison doors, sets captives free. And the Lord goes, why don't you preach something that's biblical? I go, what are you talking about? He goes, that song says you got a river. You don't have a river. You got rivers, plural.
Well, that's good.
So he's rebuking me continually. Going, what is he rebuking me? Challenging me to have an expectation that he's in me so he can manifest. And that's that word for phanerosis, a shine forth, a radiation of the presence of God. And we clarify it. This is the only place in the Bible where God breaks it up like that so we can get it better.
Yeah.
Like boom, 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 boom. Okay, I want to reveal things. I want to demonstrate things. And I want to say some things. But the demonstration things, it's all about people seeing Jesus as alive.
Yeah.
And that's, I think God's not desperate, but he longs for people to see that Jesus came out of the grave. And those power gifts, man, that's the... You get me going on that, I start, because it's so cool.
Yeah, well, we'll stay on it for a while. It's so vital. And I think, you know, we can teach. I mean, you go back through just special faith. You know, you go back to 1 Kings 17th chapter. Elijah stands before Ahab, most wicked king ever.
Yeah.
The one that made God aggravated more than anybody ever before or after him. Mm-hmm. And he stands before him. He said, as the Lord God liveth before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, but according to my word.
Wow.
Special faith.
Special faith.
He said, I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it. And if I don't say it again, you never get a shower again, buddy.
Wow.
Because special faith. This faith came on him. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it, and it's not going to rain again until I say it again.
Right.
And then later on, you know, he knows, okay, he says there, he said, tell Ahab to get going that the rain overtake him not. There's a storm coming.
Wow.
But Elijah kept operating in that. Well, we could teach that for weeks and weeks.
Sure.
But the demonstration of it in our day, in our time.
Right.
Things that you've seen. You're talking about one of the miracles. And I remember we went to a meeting with Ed Dufresne. Mm-hmm. It's New Year's Eve. Happy Caldwell's Church, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Wow.
And Ed was just being Ed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, New Year's Eve, and he gets up there and he goes, "All right, everybody, you know, trouble in your back, come up here." See all these people, you know. He says, "Now, bend over, you know, touch your ankles, and just stand there, whatever's wrong." And he walked down there and just, man, he just whapped every one of them right in the middle of their back.
Right, right.
And these people are getting up, you know, and one guy said, "My back is so bad, the doctors told me, whatever you do, don't ever let anybody hit you in the back, because if you do, it'll paralyze you or it'll kill you."
Wow, wow.
And he's up, and but it's like, I'm sitting there thinking, I've seen a lot, you know, around Brother Hagin and,
sure.
and you know, all these, but, you know, to stand right there and watch this guy say, "I was told if anybody ever hits my back like that, it's going to either paralyze me or kill me."
Right, right.
And he's up shouting. It's like that demonstration.
Yes, yes.
And I've heard you give so many stories about some big guy that you had to hit him, I think. Some giant guy.
Oh, I think you're thinking of Mattoon, Illinois. I had a vision of a guy in a truck wreck, and the truck got rear-ended and went up to the back part of his truck. He didn't have a trailer hooked up. Split his chair in half, and I could see his back exposed. I could see his spine, his bones poking out of his back. And he came walking down. He was crying. He couldn't believe the Lord would call him out like that. And he's standing there, and I wasn't any more expecting this, but, you know, I'd kind of gotten used to it, because it's like a coat. When that mantle comes on you, it's a knowing, so it's not a wondering. So the Lord told me to tell him to lay on the floor. And he looks at me like, "What?" He says, I said, "Lay on the floor right there." And he looked like, "Well, you kidding me?" And so I got up on the stage. The Lord said, "Jump off the stage and land on his back." And I'm thinking, "What?" I jumped off the stage.
What?
Landed on his back. He goes, "Ah!" I thought, "Oh, my God, I broke his back." Because when that's on you, it's a knowing. But as soon as it leaves, you're like, "Oh, my God, what did I just do?" He jumped up. He's instantly healed. We've been to that Effingham meeting many times.
Yeah.
You've been there with me. He always is in the back. I said, "Tim, tell everybody what happened." He said, "Well, you told me to lay on the floor and you jumped on my back." I said, "Well, what was the fruit of it?" He said, "My back was healed."
Wow.
So the fruit is what you're looking for. And I remember at a church, you know the pastor, Ed Taylor, Greensboro, North Carolina.
Yeah.
There was I had a word of knowledge that a woman was in a car wreck, hurt her neck and her back. She comes walking down. All of a sudden, I felt it come on. I said, "Oh, here we go." It was a knowing. I said, "Who's ever seen a miracle before in here?" Now, this is not my faith. My faith was to say, "Glad you came tonight. Jesus redeemed you from the curse of the law. We'll lay hands on you and you'll recover." Mm-hmm. Special faith says, everybody gather around. Who's never seen a miracle before? Watch this. You're going to see a miracle. And I'm thinking, "Oh, dear Lord." But I'm not wondering. I'm knowing.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it. It carries you. So I said, "Okay, everybody gather around." And this lady's standing there, and all these people gather around. The Lord told me to hit her on the back of the neck. And, I mean, that's not my faith, because I wouldn't do that. I'd say, "Thanks for coming. Let's lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover." The Lord said, "Slugger." All these people standing around. I'm like, "Kapow!" And she goes, oh, my God, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. So I told the people around. I said, "Well, there you go. They'd never seen a miracle before." Well, I didn't know that one of the people that came down was a federal prosecuting attorney. And her husband was an attorney. So I'm thinking, "Oh, this is good. Here I'm slugging a lady in a service."
Yeah.
So she's healed. Well, come to find out, that federal prosecuting attorney had just converted from Islam.
Wow.
And she said, "There's no power in Islam. There's power in Christianity." Okay, I preached in Canton, Ohio. There's that couple. I preached in Galveston. There's that couple. I preached in Iowa. There's that couple. They went all over the country because they wanted to see power, because she was going back to witness to her family in Pakistan.
Wow.
So the whole thing was, that demonstration was, because I've never done that. Who's never seen a miracle before? That's not me.
Yeah. No.
I'm just glad you came.
Yeah.
Ordinary faith says, "Well, lay hands on you, recover." Special faith says, "Hit her on the back of the head." But the whole point was to demonstrate to that federal prosecuting attorney.
Yeah.
That Christianity has power. And she quoted, every time I see her, "There is no power in Islam." I'm like, that's right. Jesus is alive.
Wow.
So I think that's why we have to see that, because it communicates in one little moment that Jesus is alive.
Yeah.
Whereas I could teach 50 messages on that, that's good. That's wonderful. But the power gifts speed things up. And that's what I think we have to have, just because we're right at the very end. So there has to be some radical demonstrations.
You can't replace that. You know, we were in a... Islam, a nation, city, last year.
Sure.
And five times a day, the speakers go off. People take their mats, and they it looks like an anthill. People from everywhere, five times a day. And they go in, they walk in, and they lay their mat down, and they get on their face, and they pray, and then they come back. And a few hours later, the speakers go off, and it's this voice is singing over. And every day, it goes on like that. And they go in there, and you go, there's nothing. There's no power. It's a religion, but there's nothing happens. What one gospel message with God demonstrating?
Yeah.
With signs and wonders and healings and miracles. What that could do to a city.
Wow. And look how diligent they are without any power.
Oh, yeah. If the church would get that hungry,
five times
a day, I'm going to take my mat, I'm going to go to church, and boy, if we got that hungry, think of the miracles we'd have.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Wow.
So, but this is so, it's so important. Mm. And I want us to stay on this. We'll do this a little more. Into next week, because you've been walking in this for a long time. You've seen it operate. I've seen it through different people. I've seen certain things, but you've had an operation of really the power gifts. You've had that operating for a long time to the point you can describe it. Say, this is what happened. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I'm the kind of person that's going to go up and tell you if you've never seen. You know, you don't wind people up, stir them up, but you just know the Holy Ghost, and that's how God uses you. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times, Paul said, that which you've seen and heard in me, do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, now that doesn't mean you go out and find somebody that's broken their back, have them lay down and jump on their back.
Right, right.
Like you said, if you even had to think about that, question about it, you better not do it because it's probably not the Holy Ghost.
Right, right.
You do it and then think about it.
Right, right.
I know that.
Exactly.
Doesn't mean you go out and say, I tell you, I'm going to just yank people out of wheelchairs and I'm going to jump on their backs and I'm going to break their shoulders. And no, but we need to hear about these things so that when they start happening like a river, we're on board with it.
Right, right.
And there's folks that, you know, God's going to use people.
Right.
I thought you would enjoy that. Yeah. Brings good definition to that, does it not? When you hear a little bit of teaching on it, also you see the miracles and the different things that happen. But I think what I want to stress to you tonight is when we pray, we're praying for God to use anyone he desires to use, not only in this church, but in the whole body of Christ. Yeah. These gifts are so vital and they're so necessary. Mm-hmm. And you and I have a part in that, and our part is to pray. Amen? Yeah. So as promised, we're going to go ahead and ask you to stand. You can walk if you want to. You can kneel if you want to. We're going to go ahead and pray about the power gifts a little while tonight. Amen? Amen. Lift up your hands and just thank God. Thank you. Father, we thank so much for what we've heard. We're a hungry congregation. We are a hungry people. We're hungry for you. We're hungry for the Holy Spirit. We're hungry for a move of God, Lord. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come together tonight as a family. We come together in community. We come together in faith tonight, asking you to make to manifest yourself in this regard. We pray about the power gifts, Lord. We ask you, sir, for the gifts of healings and special faith and the working of miracles to be in operation in a greater measure than we've seen up to this point. In a greater measure, Lord, in this community. In a greater measure through your sons and through your daughters here in this congregation. And Lord, for the body of Christ as a whole. Oh, Father, we covet them. We desire them. And so we pray about this fervently tonight. So go ahead and pray how you pray. You can pray in English. You can pray in the Spirit. Just from your innermost being. Let's cry out to God. Oh, breki selamande. Elevroste klapasiende. Ombre giseston klamale. Oh, brapasistea. We know that it is your will. That it is your plan. Oh, breki samatia. For those that are hurting, Lord. For those in brekama siste andele brafiende. Oh, brekisteanda. Thank you for special faith. Thank you for special faith flowing through your men, flowing through your women, young men. Hallelujah. Young women, even boys and girls Rekama sondre, your will be done, the will of the Lord be done. Mise claparine jede, vrapando lobocoshene netea. And in this place, Lord, and in this place, we make room. We make room for you. We make room for you, Lord. We brekeshte malaya, vrason lingeba, makisisisino colabrede. We give place. We give place to the Holy One. We give place to the Holy Ghost. Oh, makininea. Arabasungli kiselama. Stir yourself up and pray a little bit more fervently. Oh, kiseamale. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. For those workings. Those workings. Those workings, Lord. The lima nikasian, the labari di shelebrandai. We thank you, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, you said in your word, we stand on John 14:12. You said in your word, he that believeth on me, praise God, and we believe on you. You said the works that you did shall we do also. Glory to God. So as you manifested yourself, even Lord, as the deaf heard, as the blind saw, Lord, as the lame walked, and even as the dead were raised, we thank you, Lord, that those works are available by the Holy Ghost in this day and this hour. And so we are believers. We believe it. You said it in your word, and we stand on your word. You said the works that you did, we shall do also. But not only the works, but greater works. Come on, somebody. Say the greater works. The works that he did shall be done also in and through the body of Christ. And even greater works than these shall we see. Oh, Briki Samania. Father, we also stand on the word in Mark 16. You said when we believe on you that these signs will follow them. These signs will follow them that believe. Praise God. How many believers are in the house tonight? Raise a hand if you're a believer. Oh, praise God. You said in your word, these signs shall follow them that believe. You said in your word that these signs shall accompany the believing ones. And we are believing ones. And so, Father, we thank you that these signs follow us. These signs accompany us. These signs go right along with us. Oh, thank you, Lord. Supernatural. Subrekamalisteana. Above the natural. The supernatural. Misoromorande. We pray for a supernatural intervention of the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Oh, a supernatural intervention. A supernatural intervention. Oh, mrike selem ronde. A supernatural intervention in this nation. A supernatural intervention among Islam. A supernatural intervention among the occult. A supernatural intervention of signs and wonders and miracles, Lord. Oh, mrike semadistea. That point to the fact that Jesus is not dead, but Jesus is alive. Jesus rose from the dead, and all power has been given unto the church. Hallelujah. Oh, we need to see it. We need to believe it, that power is in us. That same power is upon us. Glory to God. Lift both your hands up and say, I am a willing vessel. As you will, Lord, use me for your glory. We declare supernatural intervention, supernatural signs, and supernatural wonders in our midst. Oh, praise God. We're expecting. Glory to God. How many of you are in expectation of supernatural intervention? Oh, brakasama. Just go ahead and put your hands on a few chairs. Amen. In the name of Jesus, thank you for the anointing all over this auditorium. Lord, as people come in from the north, the south, the east, and the west, they will experience a saturation of the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Father. You said in your word that if we would believe, that we would see the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we believe. Count us in. We believe. We believe in the supernatural intervention. Oh, brakasi nemalea. Oh, ramasi se propamole ne. Go ahead and put your hands on a few more chairs. In the name of Jesus, we call the blind in. We call the halt in. We call the maimed in. We call those that are downtrodden. We thank you, Lord, that you are the glory and the very lifter of their heads, that you are their healer, Lord, that you can change the course of their lives. Oh, hallelujah. We're hungry, Lord. We're hungry, Lord. We're hungry, Lord. Make us hungry still. Hungrier still. Oh, maki selamale. Thank you for special faith. Thank you for the Holy Ghost coming upon your men, coming upon your women, coming upon your daughters, coming upon your sons, coming upon even our grandchildren. Even as Azusa Street experienced a revival among children, Lord, we prophesy a revival in our church among the children and among the youth, Lord. You are not limited. You are not limited just to use this person or that person. Glory to God. We're all in for a move of God. Say it with me. We're all in. We're all in for the manifestations. We are all in this place. Woo, glory to God. Point to yourself and say, I'm in. I'm all in. I am in Christ. Christ is in me. He is the hope. He is the hope of glory. He is the expectation of the great glory of God. Woo, in manifestation. Oh, let's raise our hands and shout a minute. Glory to God. 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 Hallelujah. Why do you think Daniel had such great calm in the lion's den? Why is it and how is it that Daniel could lay there in the lion's den and be unharmed? It's this special faith. It was the gift of faith in manifestation. Amen. Now, there may be a few lions out there in this realm of the Spirit that are after you, but you can be at great peace. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on, raise your hands up. Mela brapasi and dela brapali and alahaya. Glory to God. Glory to God. The patriarchs of old would gather their sons and gather their daughters. They would gather them and they would lay hands on them. And they would speak a blessing over them. They would speak the word of the Lord over them about their present and about their future. Those words were empowered and infused by the special faith, by the manifestation of the gift of faith. For the gift of faith operates by believing. The gift of faith often operates by saying. Hallelujah. Those patriarchs of old spoke a word, and that word held them down through the corridor of time. Amen. Woo, glory to God. You may be in your home someday, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God just comes upon you, a faith beyond your ordinary faith, and you put your hand on your son, you put your hand on your daughter, and you prophesy over them, and you speak blessings over them, and you speak the word of the Lord over them. Hallelujah! Woo! Glory to God. Say with me, I'm available. I am available. Oh my malike solabrande debeshe enema. How is it? How is it? Praise God. How is it? Glory to God. That Daniel, amen, opened up his window and prayed when he wasn't supposed to be praying. How is it? Glory to God. Woo, glory to God. It was a gift of faith. Amen. Special faith is for this day. Special faith is for this hour. Don't sell yourself short. Don't try to work anything up, but on the other hand, say, I'm available. I am available.